into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Golden Point. I'm here with my co-host Mac. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Jesse.
We've got a jam-packed episode for you this week. We're going to kick things off with talking points. We've got 60 seconds of trivia. We've got former Knights, Melbourne and Panthers player Clint Newton joining us for a chat. We're going to have question time discussing the round ahead. 20 questions, and we're going to finish things off with Mac's rant. Okay, Mac, how about you kick things off with talking points?
All right, so my first talking point is Robbie Farah's return. We've been talking about it for the past couple episodes, and we've sort of trying to discuss if it was going to be a good thing or a bad thing. And lo and behold, they score 0 points when he returns. whether that's all his fault or not is another question, but you've got to say, as soon as his name was in that team list, there was automatic, like, you know, disrepute amongst the club. It seemed like there was infighting again, and it just seemed like everyone was unsettled. You've got to say, he's had a negative impact, I think, in his return.
Yeah, it didn't seem to have much of a positive impact, that's for sure. I watched a bit of the game, a fair bit of the second half, and it did seem that he limited the halves. They seemed like they weren't controlling the team like they were the previous three rounds. And like you said, they scored 0 points. I think that's a bit of an indicator of what kind of impact he has in the team, unfortunately. My first talking point is jersey prices, NRL jersey prices. I think most fans have been annoyed by this for a long, long time. And I think with the appointment of Todd Greenberg as CEO, I think it's a good chance for the NRL to fix things in the game. And this is a big thing that needs fixing, because it's an issue for fans. Fans want to show their support for their teams, and they want to go to games wearing their colours. And we want the stadiums to be a sea of blue, red, green, purple, whatever it be. I think the NRL has two options with this. If they want to keep the jerseys at the prices that they are, I feel like they need to bring in some sort of a rule, whether it be a 5-year rule, 3-5-year rule, and say you can't change your jerseys for this amount of time. And that will allow fans to know that they can spend $180 on a jersey and it's not going to change the next week. It's either that, or I think you've got to reduce the prices down to under $100, because it's just too expensive at the moment when they're chopping and changing every season. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you've got to feel sorry for the parents as well, where every kid wants a jersey, and it's just not affordable, along with like going to a game where that's not cheap either. It's just, being an NRL supporter these days can be quite expensive. Okay, my second talking point is about the English imports we've got in the NRL. I think Josh Hodgson has just been phenomenal this year. I believe he's leading the Dally M race at the moment. He and Elliot Whitehead just had, like, that try that they scored together was just, it was phenomenal during the Raiders game. And, you know, it just shows that NRL players shouldn't, or NRL teams shouldn't be afraid to recruit from the English Super League. There is a lot of talent over there, a lot of up-and-coming talent, and it'd be great to see more come through. And obviously players in more pivotal positions, like a 5-8 or a halfback or a fullback, I think they could have a real impact, and I like the idea of bringing more of them over.
Yeah, Josh Hodgson's been great. We've talked about him on the podcast before. I think it's deserved to be leading the Dally M count at the moment. He's on fire, and I think he's, if the Raiders end up doing well this season, he's going to be a big reason for that. We're going to move on to 60 seconds of trivia now. So I think Mac is going to grill me. I copped a bit of a rough one in round 2 of the Golden Point. I think I complained a little bit that it was a bit harsh. So we'll see what he's got in store for me this week.
It's going to be questions like what team is from Newcastle and things like that, just to make it real easy for you.
Let's hope so.
Not really.
Well, the shot clock is ready to go. So whenever you're ready, everything's underway.
Okay, so within 10,000 either side, what was the total crowd number after round 4?
Choice, is it?
No.
Oh, no.
I almost gave you the answer.
Okay. Oh, God, I don't even know. What is it? 8 games? I don't know. 200,000?
No. What team has the highest points differential after round 4?
Highest points differential? Newcastle?
No.
Roosters?
No, highest, like best.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Rabbitohs?
Yes. What was the final score in the Roosters versus Seagulls game?
Roosters Seagulls, that was 22-20?
Yes. How many games had under 30 points scored in round 4?
Oh, 3?
Yes. How many points did Moses Mbai score against the Rabbitohs?
14?
Yes. Okay, so what was the crowd number? 10,000 either side.
I have no idea with this one. 250.
No.
230.
No.
240.
No.
I pass. I have no idea. I know I'm done.
Oh, yeah. I think time is almost done. Time is almost done. Wow. There you go. So the total crowd number was 179,823.
So there you go.
Would have taken between 169 and 189,000.
Okay. So I went up rather than down.
Yeah, you're going the wrong direction.
I really should have known. It was NRL crowds. I should have gone down. Yeah. Not up.
It was surprising. Apart from those two big, like the Cowboys, the Bulldogs, and the Eels game.
Yeah, Tigers Eels.
Every other game was around the 10,000 mark.
Yeah.
It was pretty low and dour, unfortunately. Yeah.
There was a Roosters home game in there, so there was obviously going to be a low crowd there.
Yeah, that took the average down with a 3.
All right, so how many in the end
you
did
got
I
four.
Get?
Four. Four out of five. That's a record.
New record, yeah. I think I got lucky on a few of those that I did happen to read them in the news or watch the games. So.
I think I put you on 7 out of a possible 10 overall, and I'm on 4 out of a possible 10. So
I'll take that, yeah.
I want some easy ones next week.
We'll see. All right, so that's trivia done for this week. We're going to move on to our interview with Clint Newton now, so we'll take a quick break, then we'll be back with that one.
This podcast is made possible thanks to our partners at LeagueFreak.com, the place for all things rugby league. LeagueFreak.com.
A veteran of over 250 games, Clint Newton made his debut for the Newcastle Knights in 2001. Last year he decided to hang up the boots, and he went out a winner, captaining Newcastle to the New South Wales Cup Premiership. Now in retirement, Clint has taken the role of chairman for the Rugby League Players Association.
Hi, Clint.
Hey, mate.
We'll just jump straight into some questions, if that's okay.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Clint. So what does your role within the Rugby League Players Association involve?
Well, at the moment, I'm the chairman and general president of the Rugby League Players Association. So I've been in the general president role for over 3 years, and I've been chairman for about 18 months, so that's been challenging at times, but really rewarding as well, and particularly because you get to represent such a diverse and really talented group, both from a performance point of view, but also from an actual person point of view as well.
Absolutely. So do you see yourself staying around the game and working in the administration role long term?
It's certainly one of my passions. I think, my main passion has always been about helping people. So I think by doing that from a RLPA point of view, it gives me a great understanding about, what are the complexities surrounding the game, and what are the real issues, and also how can we make improvements. So if it is rugby league, then fantastic. But so that's really my main focus at the moment, but after that, who knows?
Okay, that's excellent. And we've already seen a large number of injuries this season. Is the Rugby League Players Association concerned with the impact the shot clock could have on this?
Obviously, originally when the shot clock and the reduction of the interchange came out, we certainly challenged the ability to implement something without actually trialling it first.
Okay.
I think that it has been an improvement in the game in certain aspects, but I think it's certainly something that we need to really keep on top of and make sure that we've got the right things in place to monitor it, because we certainly want our players not put at any extra risks from a health and safety point of view.
Yeah.
And it's something that we need to make sure that we keep communicating with our players and asking them how they're feeling and collecting enough evidence-based research to be able to have an informed opinion at the back end of this season.
Yeah, great. So moving back to your playing career, you played with some great players such as Andrew Johns, Cameron Smith, Danny Badiris. What player would you say that you learnt the most from and helped your career?
Oh, I'd have to probably say Andrew Johns and Danny Badiris. You're so impressionable at a young age, and I think one of the key things, from a young person's point of view, you've really got to be coachable and you've got to be teachable and you've got to have the ability to want to learn, and I certainly wanted to do that, particularly when you don't get an opportunity to be around some of the the greatest of all time very often, and but I was fortunate to get that opportunity for the first 7 years of my career with those guys. So I certainly think they influenced me a tremendous amount, both on and off the field. One of the things that Joey doesn't get a whole lot of credit for is his commitment and his perseverance and his dedication to the game away from training. The extras that he used to do really created the player he became and the player he was. And the amount of times that he would do extras and call blokes like myself or Kurt Gidley or a few other guys to come and join him was invaluable in my education of the game and also in the relationship that I was able to build with him. And it's we're still really close now, and I still consider Joey one of my real close friends, and I was just blessed to play with him.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And continuing with your playing career, what was it like representing America in the World Cup? And do you have any involvement with promoting the game over there at all?
Yeah, it was certainly a long time coming, representing America in the World Cup. I'd been staying in contact with David New, who was involved with the Tomahawks ever since I was about 18. But it just seemed that every year that there was an opportunity to play, I was either suspended or I was having some sort of off-season surgery, so it just didn't quite work out. But then when the opportunity came up to play in the World Cup, I was never going to let it down. Even on the back of my partner gave birth about 5 days prior to me flying out for the World Cup, and she was left in Australia. Luckily, she had my mother and her mother here because she's from England. For the first 6 or 7 weeks of my daughter's childhood, so I can't thank her enough for giving me an opportunity to go over there and do that. But I have to say, it was one of the most rewarding experiences of my career. Some of those guys that played in that team really took me back to probably what it was like to play when I first started in my childhood. And I think sometimes you get caught up in some of the fame and the hype and the exposure that the game gets, and sometimes you actually forget why you're actually doing it, and it's because you love it. And these guys had that in bucket loads, the passion for the game, and so many of them took unpaid leave from work, a couple of them quit their jobs. And that sort of stuff to come over and fulfil a childhood dream, and that was to represent America on the biggest stage, and to go in as the last place team in rankings and actually go on to win our pool and then go on to the quarterfinals and elevate the Tomahawks to, I think, 8th in the world at that point after that tournament was such a huge result for the game, but also for those individuals and the guys that had come before them and the work they'd done.
Yeah, no, you guys did really well. So throughout your career, you played with a few different clubs. Do you notice a culture change when you move from club to club, especially, I guess, in Melbourne, where it is quite AFL-heavy down there?
Yeah, I certainly think you do. Culture, the word culture sort of gets thrown around a lot, and often when I get asked about it, I can't really put it down to any particular cliched line or set words. I think culture's, in my opinion, is just a feeling. You can feel it. It's a living, breathing organism that's involved in a rugby league club, and you have to keep working on it. It doesn't just grow by itself, but it also doesn't. You're not able to sustain it if you don't continue to work on it. And I thought that Newcastle, when I played there for the 7 years prior to leaving. It had a strong culture, but it was a very different culture to Melbourne. It was a culture that that probably was at times still stuck in the old way of doing things. But that was also a culture that had been successful in winning two premierships. But moving forward, when I went to Melbourne, I actually really my eyes were really sort of held open at one point, just to look at what they created at Melbourne and the ability to involve a really strong leadership group and how that leadership staff and the empowerment that Craig Bellamy and the staff gave that leadership group and the ownership that they gave the team was something I'd never ever seen before. And it was, it's still there now, and that's why they've been arguably one of the most successful teams in the last decade, even with all the player movements that they've had to endure. To then go to Super League and basically be involved with a club that was trying to build a culture and create a new dynasty and be a part of that, that was, you know, hugely rewarding. And then Phil Gould asked me to, you know, come back to Penrith and come home and do something similar at Penrith, because they were going through a bit of a shift in their strategic plan about where they wanted to get to. So, yeah, that was really important to be a part of all those different types of cultures, so to speak. And, you know, I think I've got a pretty good understanding of, you know, of what it takes to have a strong culture and a good one, and also what a bad one looks like too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very insightful. So throughout your career, would you say you'd have a highlight that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, making my debut for the Knights in 2001 as a 19-year-old, and, you know, in front of my family and my friends, and, you know, was something that, if you had have asked me at, you know, 12 when I first started playing rugby league, I would have... to use an old castle line, I would have said, you're dreaming. So to be able to then go on and represent, you know, my town and the team that I'd supported since its inception in 1988 as a you know, 7-year-old or a 6-year-old at that point, was, you know, really that sense of huge personal satisfaction, both for myself and my family, who played such a huge role in my development. To then go on and play 100 games for them and then obviously go to Melbourne and win a premiership there was hugely rewarding. So I'd have to say those two, as well as probably last year, you know, winning the grand final with the State Cup guys for the Knights and bringing a trophy to Newcastle, you know, across any grade since 2001 was hugely satisfying, particularly because of the playing group that we had to work with, which we used about 50 players throughout that season last year. And then the average age of the team playing in the grand final that we won was probably about 21 years of age. So, and that was even having me there as a 34-year-old. So that was great. I mean, it was, again, it was back to that sort of tomahawk sort of moment where, you know, the players were so teachable and had a huge amount of respect for me and they were prepared to listen and learn and be a part of, you know, something that was very special to them and gave them an opportunity to play, you know, for some of them that will be the biggest stage they'll ever play on, and to be a part of it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that you're a retired player, do you enjoy sitting back on the weekend and watching the game as a fan?
Yeah, I do. I have to say that I feel like I've transitioned out of the game pretty well. You know, it is a huge problem in the game, across all codes, really, and across all sports. The transitional, I suppose at times, the transitional depression that players face.
Yeah, sure.
Because if you don't actually know who you are and what you stand for and what you represent and what your actual identity is away from the game, it can be a huge issue for you if you then leave the game without actually knowing who you are and what you want to do. Because if all you've been identified with is playing rugby league and that no longer exists, then, you know, you're left with the reality of who am I, you know, that can be a real struggle for a number of players, but I really put some things in place to try and manage that and probably reduce the impact that retiring would have on me. And it was about, you know, leading into retirement, and I got lucky because I retired on my terms, but leading into retirement, you know, I started to become much more grateful for the career I had, not the career that I was about to finish. And really enjoyed those last moments snapshots on the way out mentally to sort of remember the good times and also what rugby league's given me. And by aligning myself with charities and whatnot, I tried, and the RLPA, I was trying to change a little bit of the image around, you know, well, who is Clint Newton and what does he stand for? And now, because I think I've been able to do that, it's made my transition much easier, and it gives me a lot more comfort watching the game. I don't watch it with any bitterness or resentment about the career that, you know, that I have to retire from. So I do enjoy it. I think the players that are playing today are just incredible. I mean, the amount of professionalism that's involved in the game today is greater than it ever has been. And I just admire the athleticism and the commitment of these guys. And mate, I'm just enjoying not waking up, you know, most days sore. Being able to pick my daughter up and play with her and not be having ice packs on me every second day and going to physio and stretching and doing all sorts of different things to prepare for a game. I'm enjoying retirement.
Yeah, great. It was good to see you had a great career, and it's good to see you carrying that into the administration role. That's all the questions that we have tonight. We really appreciate you giving us some time, and you had some great insights there as to not only what it's like to be a player, but also in the role helping out future players. So we thank you for that, Clint.
No worries at all, mate.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Clint.
No worries, guys.
Okay, thanks, Clint. Bye.
See ya.
Okay, we're going to jump into question time and look at the round ahead. We're going to pose a question about each game, and then we're going to give our headline for what we think the future may hold. I'm going to kick things off with the Manly Souths game. The question I'm going to pose is it fair to say that Souths are going to struggle to reach the decider without Sam Burgess?
I think yes. I don't like the term one-man team, but I think South Sydney have shown that when Sam Burgess isn't playing, they're a different team. They have no go forward, they have no direction, and they just struggle overall.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I mean, he wasn't there the other night, and that's, I think, only one reason why they lost big the way they did.
Yeah, no, it's taking nothing away from the Bulldogs at all, but it's, you know, he's a huge loss for them.
Yeah, and he's back this week, so the headline I've gone for: Burgess Burrows Rabbits to victory.
Very nice. Okay, so that takes us to the Titans and the Broncos. And the question I have for this one is, will the Titans stay with the Broncos in this game?
I think so. I'm really looking forward to this game. I think this is the game I'm looking forward to the most this weekend. I think people have already written the Titans off for this game, which I find quite surprising because, I mean, they're up there with the Broncos on the ladder. I think it's third versus fourth or second versus fourth.
Second versus fourth.
Yeah, which is... it's great to see. We've got another huge Queensland blockbuster 2 weeks in a row. So I've got no doubt the Titans can stay with the Broncos. Anything can happen on the day, but no doubt they've got the potential to stay with them.
I'm actually predicting an upset there, and that leads me to my headline, which is Titans triumph in Queensland Derby.
Yeah, can see it happening. So next game up is Storm Knights. The question I'm posing, when will the Knights win?
Oh, God.
And I mean that with all the respect to the Knights.
Not this week. I think they're going to get one lucky, like a few lucky games in there where they are going to win. They came really close against the Raiders, but they might face a team in a really bad spot down the line, but they're not going to win many this year.
Yeah.
I think they're a few weeks away anyway from getting that first W.
Yeah, I've said before, I'm concerned for them this year, honestly. Yeah. I don't want to see them keep getting smashed every year, but unfortunately I don't see much bright lights in the future.
Yeah.
So the headline I've gone for, Stormy Nightmare for Browns Boys.
I like it. Alright, so next up is Tigers Sharks. The question I have is, can Robbie Farah be blamed for the Tigers' performance?
No, he can't be blamed. Look, they only lost 8-0, so it's not like they lost big and are versing one of the form teams of the competition. So it's not Robbie Farah's fault. I don't think he injects anything into that team. I think they're better off without him. But no, I don't think it's his fault. Hopefully they somehow learn to play with it, because it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere.
No, yeah, absolutely. The headline I've gone for is Tigers struggle as Sharks attack.
Yeah, see it happening. So next game up, Cowboys-Dragons. So Dragons have now won 2 from 2 without Benji. Is he still part of their best 17?
Well, he's back this week. So,
no, but my question is he part of their best 17?
The coach thinks so, but I think Josh McCrone has been playing well enough that you could leave him out without much of a problem. I think he's way too hot and cold, more so cold than hot these days. And I think the Dragons have become a far better football team without him in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I like Gareth Widdop without him.
Yeah.
I think Gareth Widdop takes control of the team better when Benji's not there. Benji, he'll always have sparks of brilliance. That's something that he's always had, and I think he always will have. But I do think that the Dragons need to move on without Benji now. Headline I've gone for, Thurston slays Dragons.
Yeah, no, it's a nice, simple one. So next up is Roosters Warriors. Question I have is, are the Warriors beginning to click?
It's hard to say. They played the Knights last week, so it's a hard one to call. I think so. I think they will click at some point this year. I guess we'll see this week whether or not that was last week or if it's in the future, but definitely showed good signs of the last week.
Yeah, I think playing a couple of easy teams is really going to help them a lot. They came to life in the second half against the Knights, so they could just continue that on against the Roosters.
Yep.
And I've gone with the headline, Savage Warriors Dismantle Roosters.
Wow, yes. So next game up we've got is Eels versus the Panthers. A bit of a Western Sydney rivalry, that one. Always good. Interesting question. Are both these teams two genuine premiership contenders?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I think it's too early to tell. I would say they both can be genuine contenders. Whether they are at the moment or not is another question.
Yeah.
The Eels have a great team this year, and so do the Panthers, but I don't know. We haven't seen the Panthers with Moylan at the back yet. They could come by a whole different team this week because of that. And I don't know, injuries and all that sort of stuff. It's impossible to tell.
Yeah, I think both with their full squads are premiership contenders. I think we've got to kind of leave the Knights of 2015 out of this debate because they were just ravaged with injuries. So I think the Panthers with their best team can do battle with any other team. And I think the Eels are definitely premiership contenders. They look great this year. And I think they've got a very all-round team. So the headline I have gone for, that a boy, Moy. Moylan wins it for the Panthers.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, so the final game of the round is Bulldogs versus Raiders out at Belmore. So how big is Austin's and Caesar's return?
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's hard to say because the Raiders have still looked good without them.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned earlier, Josh Hodgson has been playing really, really well. And Elliot Whitehead as well. They've both been starring for them. So I think it will be a big inclusion. Whether or not it might take them a game or two to click again and get, the team around them has been warming up for the last 3 rounds when they haven't been there. So it might take them maybe 1 game, maybe 2 games. But I think in the long run, definitely huge inclusions for them. Can't be anything but good for that team, those two players.
Yeah. No, I had the Bulldogs winning big until I saw that they were named. And I think now it's going to be a real close game. The headline I've gone for is Bulldogs hold off returning Raiders.
Yeah. I think the Belmore crowd should definitely help to get the Bulldogs back there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's the question time done for this round. We're going to move on to 20 questions where Mac is going to try and guess the player I have chosen. We're going to throw in a new rule for this week. I think last couple of rounds we were throwing guesses out a bit too willy-nilly. So what we've done is we've thrown in a rule that if you guess a player and they're wrong, then you're out. That's your turn gone, and you lose. So with that in mind, Mac,
all right,
get us going.
All right, I'm going to go for this player straight off, but not really. Do you play for a New South Wales club?
Do you play for a New South Wales club? You do.
Okay. Is it a Sydney club?
It is a Sydney club.
Okay. Is it a Western Sydney club? So it's
No.
Okay. Is it Southern, so that sort of includes the...
No.
No? Okay.
That's right, you don't need to tell me the...
I just want to make sure there's no obscurities there. Do you play for the Roosters?
You do not play for the Roosters.
Okay. I'm thinking... What about Manly? Do you play for Manly?
You do play for Manly.
Okay. Are you a forward?
You are a forward.
Okay. Are you... Do you usually start?
Yeah, you do usually start.
Okay. And do you wear headgear?
You do not wear headgear. Okay. You are not Steve Menzies.
I think we're at a different Manly play. Okay. Do you play in the front row?
You can do. It's. I'm not going to say yes or no to that question.
Okay. All right.
I won't take a question from you either.
All right. And... All right. Have you played more than 100 games?
No.
No.
I was playing at home. That is 10 questions.
Okay. So less than 100 games, playing in Manly's forward pack, usually starting. Were you named to start this week?
I believe so. Actually, yes, you were. Yes.
Yes, you were. Okay. All right. Are you able to play in the backs at all?
That's too hard to say. I'm gonna say. I mean, yes, but no. You have not been known to play, and I'm gonna take your question.
Yeah, that's no, that's fair. I got a bit of an answer. Have you played for any other clubs besides Manly?
You have.
Okay.
Well, I have.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how this works. I'm embodying this player or not.
Did you ever play for the Tigers?
You did play for the Tigers.
Oh,
there's a couple. There are.
Do you look like Steve Menzies in terms of your haircut?
No, you don't.
Okay, I always get Steve Menzies. Did I say Steve Menzies?
Yes.
I did not mean Steve Menzies.
You said it. It's a question. Yeah, I'd just like to point out that's 15 questions.
Do you look like Steve Mad-Eye with your haircut?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you Martin Tepau?
You are Martin Tepau. Okay. I am Martin Tepau. All right, you got there. Yeah. As soon as you got Manly, you're going to get it in the end.
That's definitely something that we need to work out, I think.
That's all right. It still took you 16 questions. Yeah, that's in true. The end,
so. And I was actually scared to make the jump, so...
It's a bit terrifying.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so we're still 100% on the 20 questions. Yeah. We will have to bring in some murals to make it a little bit harder, I guess, but... We'll work on that. Any suggestions are welcome as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, 20 questions is done for another week. And we're going to move on to the rant. Matt, I'm going to throw over to you.
All right. It's going to be a short one this week. It won't be too exciting or anything like that. But just it's from a moment that happened in the Sharks-Storm game where Corey Beattie basically tripped a player to stop a break. And there was also a bit of a nudge there from Cameron Smith. And the referee asked the video ref or the bunker to check it to see if there should be a sim in there, and the end result was that there shouldn't. But in my opinion, there was a clear disadvantage made to the Sharks where they were on a break. They were probably going to score a try, and it was obviously just a professional foul. He'd stuck the leg out, he tripped him over, and yet the referees were too scared to either send off or sim in a player. And I think that needs to change. I think players need to start to learn that they can't get away with things like that, things that are intentional just to give themselves a bit of an advantage, to slow the game down, or to like potentially endanger someone as well. Like, it was a pretty bad trip, I thought. The leg was really sticking out there, and you know, you can fall awkwardly off that and you can break something quite easily. So I'd like to see the referees just show a bit more gusto there and just be prepared to make the big decision and just stick with the consequences, particularly if they're going through having the bunker check it, where the bunker can clearly see what has occurred. But yeah, that's something for the NRL to consider in the future, and it's something that they really need to look into to, I guess, fix and just, I guess, make the game a bit more strict in the future. But that's the rant for the week. Nothing too serious, but yeah.
No, it's a good topic. It's one that definitely needs to be raised, I think. It's one that the NRL's kind of been hiding away from for a while, is the sin bin regulations. I think it's probably time that we do look at a 5-minute sin bin again, because... Yeah. You've got these incidents like that one where the refs, they probably know it is a sin bin, but they're just too scared of the consequences.
Absolutely.
Of it. So if you bring in a 5-minute sin bin, that's obviously not as big of a deal. So it's definitely one that we need to scream and yell about, because the NRL needs to look at it. It was a terrible, terrible trip from Corabini.
Yeah. It
was at the end of the game. It was Sharks had a very, very solid chance of scoring. And he put a player at danger. And it's, those three things are not good enough.
You're ticking all the boxes.
Yeah, so the NRL needs to look at that. I'll be interested to see if they say anything about it in their ref review, whatever they do during the week. So, yeah, good topic.
Oh, thank you.
That's round five done for us.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it tonight, mate?
I thought it was good. I really liked the Clint Newton interview. He really did show a lot of information about the transition of a player going from being a current player to moving away and the difficulties that do arise there. So it was really nice of him to come on and give us those insights.
Oh, he was super insightful. I thought it was great to hear a few things. And a guy that's had a very interesting career. He's played for a few clubs. He's played with some amazing players. He's played in England. He's played international football. And he's played in a market where, obviously, rugby league is way, way down compared to some of the other sports. So it's interesting to get an insight on that.
Yeah.
And plus to get an insight on a former player and what they're doing to help the game in the future.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll enjoy us for some more fun next week. We're on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, etc. So go give us a follow or a like on there.
Yeah.
Enjoy the footy this weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you next week.
Awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.